From the studios of 96.3 FM, Freak Radio in Santa Cruz, California, you're listening to the Weekly Freak Show. Please stay tuned for contact information at the end of this half-hour broadcast. Kevin Danaher is a co-founder of Global Exchange and is their current director of public education. He has written and edited many books dealing with U.S. foreign policy and the global economy. His most recent volume, Globalize This, The Battle Against the World Trade Organization and Corporate Rule, came out after the massive mobilization against the WTO in Seattle in November 1999. Kevin received his doctorate in sociology from the University of California at Santa Cruz in 1982 and returned there on Friday, December 1st to commemorate the anniversary of the WTO protests. He spoke to a packed house who came out for a screening of the new film, This Is What Democracy Looks Like. We present Kevin Danaher.
Stock market, the Dow Jones average. How about the Doug Jones average? The Nasdaq's crashing. The political system is going, right? Okay, this is our chance to put forward a positive alternative. The system is based on the ideology of money. We have an alternative ideology that's based on not the love of money, but the love of life. The protection of our mother, Mother Nature, our planet, and the protection of people's human rights. Isn't that more important than, let's go to the mall, I need some more shit for my closet, you know? This is easy, this is so easy, 1 minute of serious thought, as Noam Chomsky likes to say. 1 moment of serious thought is enough to pierce the veil of the commodity treadmill. Oh, I got this credit card. I'm on this treadmill. Do you like your job? No, I hate my job. Why do you work your job? So I can afford the car. Oh, why do you have the car? To get to work. You know, it's like, come on, people. You know, what happened in Seattle? What happened in Seattle was our unity and their disunity clashed, and we won. That was in essence what happened. And it's cool, you know, that within the movement we're saying we need to be more diverse, we need to be more diverse. But that's the most diverse thing I ever saw in my life. And we had farmers from Japan and pig farmers from Oklahoma and peasant women from El Salvador and African-American steel workers from Detroit and unionists from South Africa all together out in the street saying, no, this WTO shit, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to go. And it wasn't until... I remember, I get chills thinking about it. It wasn't until about 6:30, 7 o'clock on the morning of the 30th, we had two groups. We massed up on the hill behind the center and down on the sound by the waterfront, and we marched up by the thousands, closing in, and we had all this command and control. You know, okay, we need 200 people in this intersection and 1,000 people over here, and we weren't sure if we were going to actually pull it off. And I remember right when we got to the point where the group of us that were coming up from the waterfront, we could see the group of people coming down from the hill, from the community college behind the convention center, and I looked and I saw the size of it, and I said, wow, we got enough people, we got them. And from then on, it was like a party. One of the intersections that I was at had a Teamsters truck and an SEIU truck, those big 18-wheelers, the big semi-trucks, with sound system blaring music, everybody's dancing in the street, and there was medical supplies. No, police didn't mess with that intersection. Because the Teamsters were there with their semi, you know. Oh, we'll behave here. Someplace where we think we can beat up the blue-haired hippies, we'll go, you know, wail into them. Well, I was taught when I was a kid in school, in debating club in eighth grade, that you don't do ad hominem attack. You don't attack your opponent physically or say, oh, you got blue hair, you got nose rings. No, you deal with the substance and the logic of their argument. When your opponent has to throw people out shooting chemicals and rubber bullets at you, you won already. You won already. corporations are freaking out, right? Forbes has a story, corporate saboteurs, right, with us on the cover. Business Week has two issues. One, it says about a month ago, too much corporate power. The polls showed 70-some percent of the public says corporations have too much power and CEOs get paid too much money. When they ask people their definition of a good economy and they give them the Milton Friedman free market version, only 4% of respondents agreed with that definition. The majority said, no, corporations have a responsibility to the environment and to the community and to their workers. The majority of people are on our side, you dig? And instead of people being all fired up like, yeah, we're going to make a global love revolution, they're going, oh, I'm only one person. What can I do? Hey, unless you're Siamese twins or you got a multiple personality disorder, everybody's only one person, okay? It's like a finger. Finger's breakable. You bring the fingers together, or to play a piano. I don't want to be too militant with the message, you know. But you bring those fingers together, they're not as breakable, right? We are social beings. We are meant to work together. So what they promote is a me ideology. Me, me, me. I want to win the lottery. I want a big house. I want a big car. I want this. I want that. And what we're putting forward is a we ideology. We. Yeah, it's we. All the people of the planet are going to get together as a race and solve these problems. Imagine if there were a religion, a fundamentalist religion, that was taking over every government in the world and imposing policies that killed millions of children needlessly, right, and promoted warfare instead of peace. Wouldn't we rise up against that religion taking over every government in the world? Well, that's happening right now. It's the corporate money religion. It's taking over every elite, every government in the world, except a few. There's little Cuba. We smash them with an economic embargo. We'll teach them, right? There are children that we work with in Cuba who are dying of rare forms of leukemia where the only effective medicine is made here in the United States. It's against U.S. law for U.S. corporations who make that medicine to sell that medicine to those Cuban children. Free market? Free market? Excuse me, what was that about a free market? You're willing to kill children for the sake of corporate profits, and you're preaching a free market? Think about this. A television set has more freedom of movement in this global economy than a Mexican citizen, a Mexican human being, right? That electronic stuff, textiles, sweatshop products, crosses the border. Yeah, oh, yeah, we want capital to be free, but people shouldn't be free. Let's get rid of all the borders. Let's let people live where they want. You're into free markets? Let's have a free market in people, you know? Let people live where they want to live. That would force us to sort it out. That would force us to sort it out. Summary, system sucks. System's in crisis. There's a social crisis. You know, I don't want to spend too much time on this part. First is the social crisis. We got growing inequality. The richest 20% of the world's people consume 86% of the world's resources. The poorest 80% of the world's people get 14% of the world's resources. Millions of children dying from things like measles, where the vaccine costs about 10 cents, diarrhea, gastrointestinal disorders. It's from dirty water. The cure is water and sugar and salt. All of this is curable. The world currently produces more food per capita than ever in world history, and we have more people going hungry than ever in world history. What is wrong with this picture, okay? You know, this is like a huge social crisis. Second crisis is the environmental crisis. Every major biological system is in rapid decline. I don't want to freak anybody out, okay? Because I'm not into this apocalyptic shit. Oh, well, you know, hey, the world's going to get crazy, so I might as well shoot dope and shoot pool, you know. What the hell? What it is if you're religious, it's God. If you're not religious, it's nature giving us a little wake-up call saying, hey, folks, you know what? The canary in your coal mine just passed out. And he's in the bottom of the cage going, So at some point, enough canaries are going to die that even the dummies like Rush Limbaugh are going to say, hey, maybe something's wrong. Check out the insurance industry journals. They're having articles about, yeah, maybe this global warming stuff is for real. Because they see government, U.S. government came out with a report about a month ago saying, don't buy land within 500 feet of the ocean. And I know I shouldn't say this in Santa Cruz. Because I like those beaches too, but they say, Within the next 2 or 3 decades, anything within 500 feet of the ocean is in danger. Because if you warm the oceans, 3/4 of the planet, just a teeny-weeny little bit, the volume increases, right? The volatility, because the oceans drive our weather, right? The water cycle, deep shit coming. These two crises are fomenting a third crisis, which is a spiritual, moral crisis. In the face of this massive suffering and injustice and environmental destruction against nature, God's creation, whatever you want to call it, we have people doing this. I don't see that house on fire with the baby screaming at the window. I don't know enough about fire. I got to go to the library, read a book about combustion before I can break down that joint, said that kid. The bubble. Let's not go vote. Let's go to the mall. You know. But in response, the good news is that there's a movement, there's a global revolution happening. There's never been a global revolution before. There have been national revolutions that aim to seize state power. But look at the Zapatistas in 94 when they rose up in Chiapas, Mexico. They didn't say, we're going to seize power in Mexico City. They said, we're rising up against neoliberalism. We're rising up against this top-down elite globalization that cuts down our trees and starves our children. That's what we're rising up against. We want a whole new planet, a whole new planetary system that raises the question, who rules? Is it the people or is it the corporations? And, you know, I have stuff in my book from Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln all saying, the corporations are taking over. We got to stop them. Thomas Jefferson says, we should crush in its birth the aristocracy of the moneyed corporations that is taking control of our country and is bidding defiance to the people's will. Crush in its birth. Whoa, Tom, dude. I thought you were an intellectual, you know? Crush in its birth? Whoa. People who believe capital is like horseshit. If you pile in a big pile, it stinks. If you spread it out evenly, it makes things grow. Right, Jim Hyde? So we have literally an explosion of grassroots economic activism, of democratic economic models and ecological economic models. I'll touch on a few micro-lending institutions. There's now over 2,000 micro-lending institutions like the Grameen Bank, small amounts of capital to small, you know, poor people, peasants, so they can buy some tools to build houses and make money or get a cow and sell milk, things like that. You know, free enterprise doesn't mean the freedom of big corporations to go anywhere and do anything they want. Free enterprise is supposed to mean the freedom of everyone to be enterprising. That should be the definition of free enterprise, not the power of big corporations. Community-supported agriculture. What is it? It's cutting the market out of the relationship between farmers and consumers, right? We don't need Safeway and Archer Daniels Midland and all this other corporate control. We can eat local food, organically grown food. What's good for you is good for the planet. People are catching on to this. Sale of organic food is growing faster than sale of chemical food. So already these alternative models of redistributing wealth on the planet are penetrating the official circles up at the top. There's changes in the trade union movement. The trade union movement now is getting much more community focused instead of just shop floor focused, and is becoming much more transnational instead of this AFL-CIA stuff that it used to be, you know? So that's an important change. There's been a worker rebellion that isn't reported in the corporate media. During the late 1990s, national worker movements mounted mass protests in Nigeria, Indonesia, Taiwan, Paraguay, Bolivia, Canada, France, Argentina, Brazil, Greece, Italy, South Korea, Spain, Venezuela, Belgium, Colombia, Ecuador, Haiti, and I could go on, but I won't. You get the point. Oh, go on. Socially responsible investing is now growing faster than the standard slash and burn. If you look at the Domini Index, which is an index of the socially responsible firms, it now outperforms the Standard & Poor's 500 and the Russell 2000, the non-screened funds. Worker-controlled pension funds, there's whole sections of the AFL-CIO whose job it is to investigate how we get worker control of the trillions, not billions, trillions of dollars in worker retirement funds that are currently under the control of management. When you start controlling trillions of dollars, that's serious bucks, you know? You're going to really influence people with that. All of these struggles, change the rules of the global economy, corporate accountability, alternative economic institutions, they're all asking the same question about how capital gets invested. If you want to talk about immigration or environmental destruction or gender inequity, in institutional racism, the lack of good jobs, etc., you got to talk why we don't have mass transit, why we don't have enough housing, why housing isn't affordable. It's all about how capital gets invested. The two subsidiary questions are, who's sitting at the table? Is it a monocrop? You know how monocrop works, right? You got to kill other forms of life to have a monocrop. So if you're going to have a monocrop of policymaking body, you have to suppress the other voices from the sectors of society like women, environmentalists, human rights activists, labor, etc. They're freaked out by democracy and they don't want us spreading into the economy. The second question is, what are the values that are going to govern how capital gets invested? Is it maximized profits for corporations by turning human creativity and nature into money? Or is it going to be meet all social needs, no hungry children, no homelessness, etc., and save Mother Nature? Those are the two value systems in contestation. The money cycle, you got X amount, you got to get 2X, 3X, 4X. It's math, okay? You don't have to be brilliant to get rich, right? Most of these people, if you look at the people who are rich, they inherited it, so, you know, blame it on their great-grandfathers. We're going to win that value struggle. We are going to win. You got to have faith. You got to believe. We can't walk around, we're powerless. We got more power than we know. But the lack of understanding that we have to be a team, it's a team effort. No matter how good you are as a quarterback or whatever, you've got to be part of a team. And it's got to be a global team now. It's a very, as Little Richard says, all the races are God's bouquet. We're going to whack them with a bouquet.
And that's all for this week's program. Thank you for listening. The Weekly Freak Show is produced live in the studios of 96.3 FM, Freak Radio, in Santa Cruz, California, and can also be heard in Dade City, Florida at 102.9 FM, in Berkeley, California at 104.1 FM, and in Madison, Wisconsin at 87.9 FM, plus on the web at www.perumpradio.com. The Weekly Freak Show can be reached at P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California 95061. That address, P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California 95061, or send email to frsc@microradio.net. That's frsc@microradio.net. And don't forget, you can always listen to the many, many fine shows on Freak Radio by pointing your browser to www.microradio.net/frsc. That web address, www.microradio.net/frsc. Our theme music was composed and performed by Neil Norman and his Cosmic Orchestra. For everyone here at Freak Radio, my name is the V-Man, and that's a wrap.